the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and peace and greetings be upon our Master Muhammad, his pure progeny, his chosen companions, and those who follow them in their good until the Day of Judgment. The season of Hajj, which has always been coupled with the feeling of dignity, greatness, and the blossoming of the Islamic world, has this year been afflicted with the sorrow and longing of the believers, as well as with a feeling of separation and disappointment for those who looked forward to it. Hearts feel lonely due to the loneliness of the Holy Kaaba, and the sad call of those not able to go are mixed with tears and sighs. But do not despair, for this deprivation is a short-term one, and by Allah's favor and grace, it will not last long. Yet the lesson that we learn from this, which is the appreciation of the great blessing of Hajj, should become eternal and should liberate us from our negligence. This year, more than ever, we must tangibly feel and contemplate upon the secrets of the greatness and power of the Islamic Ummah, manifested with the extensive and all-inclusive gathering of believers in the holy sanctuary of the Kaaba, in the holy shrine of the Prophet, and in the holy shrines of the rest of the Imams. Hajj is a unique obligation. Among Islamic obligations, Hajj is a flower with 100 different petals. It is as if all important religious aspects, such as the individual and social, worldly and heavenly, and the historic and global aspects of religion are reviewed. There is spirituality in Hajj, but without any seclusion, isolation, or reclusiveness. Hajj involves congregation, but without any conflict, disagreements, or evil intentions. On the one hand, Hajj involves spiritual ecstasy, resulting from supplications, transcendence, and divine dhikr, remembering of Allah. And on the other hand, Hajj involves bonds of friendship and contact with the people. With one eye, a Hajj pilgrim watches their long-standing bond with the history of mankind, with Ibrahim, with Ismail, with Hajar, and with the Messenger of Allah when he victoriously entered Masjid al-Haram, accompanied by a large group of believers in the early era of Islam. And with the other eye, they watch the crowds of their contemporary believers, each of whom can stretch out a hand to help each other, and all together hold on to the rope of Allah. Contemplation and deliberation on the phenomenon of Hajj leads the Hajj pilgrim to firmly believe that many of the ideals and aspirations of religion for humanity will not yield results without the synergy, solidarity, and cooperation of an assemblage of the religious. And via the solidarity and cooperation, even the tricks of enemies and opponents won't be able to create serious problems on this path. Hajj is the strategic maneuver which shows Islam's power in the face of the arrogant powers, who are the center of corruption, oppression, killing the weak, plundering and looting, and today, the body and the life of the Islamic Ummah is wounded and bleeding due to their oppression and crimes. Hajj is the display of the soft and hard capabilities of the Islamic Ummah. This is the nature and the soul of Hajj, and one of the most important goals of the Hajj. This is what our late Imam Khomeini the Great described as an Ibrahimi Hajj. And if those in charge of the Hajj, who refer to themselves as the servants of the two holy places, commit themselves honestly to this manifestation of Hajj, and if instead of the American government's satisfaction, they choose Allah's satisfaction, they can solve the great problems of the Islamic world. Today, as always and at all times, the obligatory interest of the Islamic Ummah is unity. A unity which creates a united hand in the face of threats and enmities. A unity which lets out a thunderous call, a shout, at the embodiment of Satan, America, the transgressor and treacherous, and at its chained and leashed dog, the Zionist regime. A unity which, like a shield, will bravely resist the bullying of global powers. This is the meaning of Allah's commands, and hold fast altogether by the rope which Allah stretches out for you, and be not divided among yourselves. The wise Quran defines the Islamic Ummah on the basis of this. Those who are with him are strong against the unbelievers, compassionate amongst each other. It also demands that the Islamic Ummah carry out the following obligations, and incline not to those who do wrong, and never will Allah grant to the unbelievers a way to triumph over the believers, and fight the leaders of kufr, and finally, take not my enemies and yours as friends or protectors. And in order to identify the enemy at hand, the Holy Quran issues the following command. Allah forbids you not with regard to those who fight you not for your faith, nor drive you out of your homes, from dealing kindly and justly with them. Allah forbids you not with regard to those who fight you not for your faith, nor drive you out of your homes, from dealing kindly and justly with them. These important and fate-determining commands of Allah should never be left out of the ideological and value systems of us Muslims, and they should never be forgotten. Today, more than ever, the foundations for the Islamic Ummah, for concerned intellectuals, and for wise thinkers to bring about this fundamental transformation is at hand. Today, the Islamic Awakening, meaning the attention of Muslim intellectuals and youth towards their ideological and spiritual assets, is an undeniable truth. Today, liberalism and communism, which were considered 50 or 100 years ago as the most prominent gifts or achievements of Western civilization, have completely lost their glamour and their deadly flaws have become clearly visible. The system built on the basis of the latter, communism, has collapsed, and the system founded on the basis of the former, liberalism, is struggling with deep crises and is on the verge of a downfall. Today, not only is the cultural model of the West, which right from the beginning stepped into the arena with impudence and infamy, but even its political and economic model, its money-centered democracy, and its discriminatory and class system capitalism have all shown their inefficiency and corruption. Today, there are many intellectuals in the Islamic world who challenge all the ideological and civilizational claims of the West with absolute honor, pride, and dignity. Those who openly put forth Islamic alternatives. And today, even some Western thinkers who in the past would arrogantly introduce liberalism as the end of history now have no option other than to take back their claims and to admit to their confused theories and practices. Take a look at the streets in America, at the behavior of American politicians towards their own people, at the deep valley of class inequalities in that country, at the lowliness and stupidity of those who have been elected to manage that country, at the appalling racial discrimination, at the cruelty of an officer who tortures to death in a cold-blooded manner an innocent person on the street, right in front of others walking by. This all clearly reveals the depth of the moral and social crisis within Western civilization, as well as the distortion and falsehood of its political and economic philosophy. Furthermore, American behavior towards the weak nations of the world is an extension of the police officer's behavior, who put his knees on the neck of a defenseless black person, pressing for so long that the man dies. And other Western governments are yet another example of this disastrous situation, each within the scope of their own power and resources. And Ibrahimi Hajj is a magnificent Islamic phenomenon against this modern jahiliyyah. Hajj is an invitation to Islam, and it is an emblematic display of life in the global Islamic community. It is the best symbol of a community of believers in an interconnected movement around the pivot of Tawheed. Yet, the necessary preconditions are to refrain from dispute and conflict, from discrimination and aristocratic privileges, and from corruption and impurity. Among the main responsibilities of Muslims is to throw stones at Satan, to express one's hatred of those who ascribe partners to Allah, and to establish a close bond with the poor, to help the needy, and to display the signs of the faithful people. The midterm and end goals are to gain access to public interests and public benefits accompanied with the remembrance, gratitude, and servitude of Allah. This is an overall picture of the Islamic community as reflected in the mirror of the Ibrahimi Hajj. And when one compares this Ibrahimi Hajj with the reality of arrogant yet hollow Western societies, it fills the heart of every determined Muslim with the enthusiasm to work hard and to fight for the sake of attaining such a society. We, the people of Iran, with the guidance and leadership of Imam Khomeini the Great, took a step with such zeal and we were successful. We don't claim that we were able to practically implement all what we know and all what we would like to, but we do profess that in this path we have greatly moved forward and we have removed many of the obstacles from the path. Our steps have remained firm due to the blessings of having faith in Quranic promises. The greatest bandit, Satan, and traitor in this era, meaning the American regime, hasn't been able to frighten us, nor dominate us via their tricks and deceptions, nor obstruct our material and spiritual progress. We consider all the Muslim nations to be our brothers, and we will treat with kindness and justice all those non-Muslim nations who aren't a part of the enemy's front, and we consider the griefs and tribulations of the Muslim Ummah as our own tribulations, and we are trying our best to solve their problems. We determine helping the oppressed nation of Palestine, compassion for the wounded body of Yemen, and a concern for the Muslims under oppression in all places of the world as our eternal effort. We consider it our religious and brotherly obligation to advise the leaders of some of these Muslim countries, leaders who instead of relying upon their Muslim brothers, take refuge in the arms of the enemy, and those leaders who bear the humiliation and bullying of the enemy for their personal benefit, which is to last just a few days, and those those leaders who beat up their own nation's honor and independence with the cane of discount to sell cheaply, and those leaders who accept the permanence of the usurping and oppressive Zionist regime and either openly or secretly extend the hand of friendship to the enemy. We advise them to be wary of the bitter consequences of these actions. We regard the presence of America in West Asia as being detrimental to regional nations and a cause of insecurity, destruction, and backwardness for these countries. And as regards to the current situation in America and the anti-racial discrimination movement in America, our firm stance is to side with the American people and to condemn the cruel behavior of America's racially supremacist government. At the end of my statements, I wish to send my peace and salutations to Hazrat Baqiyatullah. May our souls be sacrificed for him, and commemorate the memory of our late Imam Khomeini, as well as extend my salutations to the pure souls of the martyrs. And I request Allah the Exalted to help the Islamic Ummah conduct a safe, accepted, and blessed Hajj pilgrimage in the near future. Greetings be upon the righteous servants of Allah.